This week I found an interesting piece of information that caught my eye, said to be true of clergy persons and their families, which could be added under that long list of what I didn't learn in seminary. This bit of information came out of a 1940 autobiography entitled One Foot in Heaven. The book is based on the life of a Methodist minister and his family, and written by the eldest son in the family, Hartzell Spence. In the book, Father Will Spence says to his son Hartzell, who is trying to cope with this idea that a pastor's kid ought to be a good example to all the other boys and girls around him. And he says, a pastor's family walks a tightrope, balancing with one foot already on earth and one in heaven. Kind of interesting. I'm trying to teach that to Hannah, but it's not getting there yet. Well, the truth is, brothers and sisters, the truth is that this balancing act is not only a challenging calling for clergy persons and their families, but believe it or not, beloved, for every single follower of Jesus Christ who claims to have an active and living relationship with our Lord and our God. And this goes back to the words of Jesus himself, who prays to the Father, not that we would be taken out of the world, but rather that we would be free of the evil one. And likewise, the words of St. Paul, who admonished the Christians in Rome, saying, do not be conformed to the world in which we live, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that by testing, we would be able to discern what is the will of God, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. So this balancing act becomes harder than we might think, or even admit that it exists. Yet it is an unending battle that we all face until we're either caught up into heaven, being taken from this place to the next because Christ came again, or we've gone on the natural way that we all know of, passing from this life to the next because we've passed away. But until one of those things happens, we are caught in this place, whether we like it or not, where believer and non-believer are bound together, living, moving, existing side by side each and every day. Just like the wheat and weeds we have heard about in our gospel lesson, where Jesus, looking to a nearby field, takes up a handful of soil and says, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a field in which good seed has been sown, but while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Now, one thing that I love about Jesus is his talent of sharing life-altering truth, which he so desperately wants everyone to hear, with all people, yet he does it without hitting them over the head with a proverbial 2x4, right? He doesn't do it with guilt and judgment. And the way he does this is to paint them a picture which would penetrate their hearts and lead them into all truth. Of course, in their own time, as they grow closer and closer to the Lord and become more self-aware. I think it's kind of like how in marriage, not every marriage, but some marriages, where a wife might come up with this great idea, but out of her love and respect and try to get the job done by her husband, she makes him think that he actually came up with it himself. So that then he will go and do it with pleasure and joy. So today we have one of those parables wherein Jesus really wants the people to know the truth about the kingdom of heaven. And so he takes those matters of truth and makes them concrete, by beginning with material which everyone within that circle would understand, and then leads those still listening, still grasping for more on things that they don't understand, into a greater understanding of God who created them, of living this life with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven. So Jesus looks to a nearby field filled with wheat as well as weeds, sometimes translated as tares, and paints the people a picture. A picture that would speak loud and clear and hit the people close to home. And it worked. For every Palestinian farmer would have equated this weed that Jesus spoke of with a specific kind of weed called bearded darnel, with which every wheat farmer did battle. These farmers who would normally weed their fields did not attempt to separate the wheat from the tares, because up until the harvest, they looked almost identical. And it was very common even for these roots to be so intertwined that it was impossible to separate them without plucking up both. Therefore, both the wheat and the tares were left to grow together, side by side, until the harvest, where the tares were separated out by hand. And so Jesus presents the people with this conundrum, believing that hopefully they're going to pick up on some eternal truths within, those that he was trying to convey to them about the kingdom of God and the reality of living one life, living life with one foot on earth, one foot in heaven. And so Jesus speaks of this time, also at the harvest time, when he will come back and when there will be this true division will be made between those who are part of the kingdom of God and those who are not. We must realize, beloved, that until that time, there will always be a hostile power trying to choke out and ruin the good seed. Just as hard as it is for the Palestinian farmer to distinguish between the wheat and the tares, it is equally as hard for any of us to distinguish between those who belong to the kingdom of God and those who do not. For none of us know the depths of one another's heart. For as Bible scholar William Barclay says, quote, some people may appear to be good and may in fact be bad, and others may appear to be bad and may be good. And it's not our job to figure out who is who. However, we ought to heed Jesus' words and heed the warning that we will all be judged. For it is God alone who truly knows us in and out and through and through. And it is he alone who can see into our heart and our soul. And in the end, it'll come down to who we know and who knows us. But until that time, I'm afraid no one is exempt from walking that tightrope. At times, leaning one way maybe more than another, even if we don't want to or don't even know that we're doing so. I don't mind sharing this with you because clergy persons aren't exempt either. And Kate doesn't mind either that I share this. But this week, I was thrown a much-needed lifeline. You see, a month ago, Kate and I went to see a movie in the theater. It was a movie we thought would be good, and we were looking forward to doing something together while Hannah was in daycare, just the two of us. And after leaving the movie, I found myself feeling a bit uneasy, but simply believed it to be what I call the, quote, movie magic brain meld, that which overcomes moviegoers after sitting for 2.5 hours plus looking at the big screen, just kind of becoming part of mush, being mesmerized by the action-packed, fast-moving, emotionally charged storyline. But one thing that I was reminded of this last week, while doing some soul-searching and praying, doing what we hear in our psalm from David, praying, search me out, O God. You know my heart. Try me and know my restless thoughts. Look well whether there be any wickedness in me and lead me in the way that is everlasting. And then I came to know something that I already know. So something that the Lord brought up in me, that the eyes are truly a window into the soul. And you see, beloved, when I watched this fictional film, it opened a door within me that allowed the evil one to start to stir some things up that had been done away with. Seeds of false reality within my heart and my soul. And I found myself walking around some days just dazed and confused, still getting on with the things that I had to do with work and family and life, but also with this anxiety-ridden, depressing false reality following behind me, tapping me on the shoulder, picking away at me. But upon watching another movie recently, this last week, here at St. John's? Something about miracles from heaven, Father Joe? That would characterize being the genre of Christian faith. My heart and my soul were overwhelmed and zeroed back in, recalibrated right where I needed to be, anchored in what is real and true, living within the spirit of adoption. Try as we may, beloved, it's hard not to be in the world, but we do not have to be and are challenged and called not to be of the world. By doing what Proverbs wisely suggests, to live as innocent as doves and as wise as serpents, as we make choices governed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and being on guard as to what we and what those around us, those we care for, that we're in charge of, see, read, listen to, where we go, what video games we play, what we participate in, day out. Because you never know where the devil's trying to get a niche in. And we continue to walk that tightrope with one foot in earth, one foot in heaven, hoping to choose that we will lean more and more and more into the kingdom as far as we can, offering him more and more of ourselves. Therefore, making more and more room for the Holy Spirit to live and move within our lives, that we'll be transformed even more into his likeness. But we must be on our guard. And when we start to think that we're being led astray, pray to God like David did. Try me. Know my restless thoughts. Let me know if there's anything wicked within me, and lead me into life everlasting. That we would let him come in and heal the broken places, bind up the old wounds, and create us new each and every day. That we would continue to serve him to the best of our ability, standing tall in the kingdom of God, not by our own worth, but through his worthiness, with both feet in, all to his honor and glory. Amen.